W-T-H.
What the hell?
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 This is the WTH. The WTH podcast.
Hold on to your butts.
Jason Casey.
Jason Casey.
Kareem Daniels.
Kareem Daniels.
And Nate Darling.
Nate Darling.
This is the WTH podcast.
Our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Oh, it's time for cheeky fun shenanigans.
Well then, do I have some stories for you?
Oh, excellent. Most excellent. Since we record all of our shows in one sitting, speaking of sitting, Kareem, lots of time on the toilet, so he's not here.
Not here.
Yeah. Jason is with me again.
Normal amount of time on the toilet today.
Oh, it's excellent. Most excellent.
You today, you're regular? Were you regular today?
I don't even remember.
Yeah.
It was a 4-month-old in the house. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know anymore. I didn't get a lot of sleep.
I get used to it, bro. Now do you understand what's been going on with me for like the last 2.5 years? Got it now?
So sometimes what I will do is I will lay her down on her playmat on the living room floor, and I will lay down next to her, and I will just fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually she'll scream or cry about something, and that'll wake me up. I have no idea how long it is, what it might mean, anything.
Oh, man.
Could be anywhere from 10 minutes to an hour. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who freaking knows?
I don't know, man, but all I gotta say is I don't mind going to work right now.
Oh, boy. Hey, speaking of working, Kareem and I talked about this last week. I now have the keys to the kingdom, and the kingdom is Darling New Media, and we will be open in July.
Bam.
We will be open in July, helping people create podcasts as well as other photo video projects. But primarily, our primary function is podcasting. We are the place where you can come to do your podcast in Sacramento.
Bam.
And we are on Howe Avenue. So when we actually open, and that, like I said, that's going to be coming very soon, like in the next couple of weeks. We will have podcast classes. We will have podcast studios, and it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time.
Bam.
Fun space to be in. Free parking. So for anybody who wants to come out and they don't want to deal with finding a parking space, how long is the meter for? I hate Midtown. No, not in Midtown. That fell through. long story. But yeah, we're on Howe Avenue and we have plenty of free parking, and it's a great space too. It's much bigger than the space we were going to have in Midtown. So a couple of nice sizable podcast studios. We're going to have a lounge area where people can hang out with a couch, and there'll be podcasts playing all the time. We've got photo. We'll be able to do everything from headshots to product photography to video projects and all of that in that same space. So very excited to get that going.
Bam.
So all of that happening. I'm upset Kareem's not here, because this show, we've got a lot of very cool things that I wanted Kareem to weigh in on. And before we get to that, I want to talk to you, Jason. So, you know, my wife and I watch a lot of, some would say, bad reality TV.
I've heard.
One of the shows we watch, now we've been watching Smothered. It's as awful as you would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what this is about. I just wanted to mention Smothered again. We had talked about, joked about doing the Smothered podcast. It would be the same show over and over again.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it would be, I cannot believe these crazy bitches. It would just be us saying that all over and over again. So 90 Day Fiance is the show.
Mm-hmm.
And right now they have 90 Day Fiance, Happily Ever After? And the answer to the question is no, for the most part. And there's this one couple in particular, and he's from Jamaica and she's from Pennsylvania, and she's 30 and has two kids. He, I believe is 20 and is a tattoo artist in Jamaica. So they get married. He comes to the US, they get married. 3 days after they get married in Vegas, she finds out he's been on Tinder. Okay. So he's been on Tinder. And in fact, she believes he has had a girl come back to her house to hang out. Okay. So this has been a source of contention for a while between the two of them, between Ashley and Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this week we find out she goes to talk to Jay's friends at the barbershop because Jay doesn't have his green card yet. She didn't submit the paperwork because she found out about this Tinder thing. So he doesn't have a green card, so he can't get paid to work, but he wants to keep his tattoo skills up. So he hooked up with these dudes at the barbershop and they said, yeah, if you want to come in and tattoo and not charge people, whatever, we'll let you have some space.
Okay.
Sure. So she calls them up and she's like, I got to talk to you guys. And they're like, come on down. And she's like, what couldn't they tell me on the phone? So after a lot of hemming and hawing, now one of the barbers is like, me and Jay, we good. I don't want to say anything. But the owner of the barber shop finally comes clean. And his first thing out of his mouth was, Jay disrespected the barber shop. Now, how did Jay disrespect the barbershop? Well,
he had sex with a chick in the back room.
In the bathroom, yes. While people were getting their hair cut and they could hear them. So they told her that. And to prove that it happened, he showed a piece of security footage where he's out back of the barbershop with his hand around Jay's throat. You know why I'm choking him? So I want to get Kareem's input on disrespecting the barbershop. I mean,
you don't disrespect the barbershop.
Disrespect the barbershop. I love that it wasn't anything like, she spent all her money bringing him here and he's doing her dirty. No, he disrespected the barbershop. Fuck that guy.
Yep.
That's where the loyalty ends.
That's where it is.
At the end of the episode, and there'll be the next one is Sunday night. At the end of the episode, Jay shows up back at the house, even though she told him if he comes back, she's calling the cops and he's getting his ass deported. He shows up at the house. And then as he's outside, you hear the police sirens coming. So there's drama.
And now the next episode.
Yeah, the next episode. So yeah, disrespecting the barbershop. I thought that was kind of the...
happily ever after, huh?
It's happily ever after? Because it's question mark.
Has it ever been happily ever after?
You know, sort of. Some of them are okay. Here's the thing. You don't hear a lot about them because
there's no drama.
They're not that fun to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll check in with them periodically and it's like, oh yeah, we got this, blah, 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 blah. We got a couple kids now. Okay. But for the most part, those people aren't that much fun to watch. The reality TV is built on drama and arguments and unsettled.
And in the worst parts of ourselves.
Yeah. It's shining that mirror that you don't necessarily want to see. This show smothered, man. Oh my God. Is your wife actually watching this? I know.
No, she's not. If she is, she's not telling me. The only thing she's been watching as of late is the World Cup.
Oh, okay.
That's her jam.
Gotcha.
And the Gold Cup, which is the men's North America. America, Cup of the Americas.
Gotcha. Leslie has been watching something else on her own. She's been binging on Hulu. I believe it's called Paradise Island, and it's a UK show. And it's, God, it's hard to explain, but basically.
It's a sex island?
Sort of, but everybody has to be in a couple.
Oh.
And then they couple and uncouple. And there's not necessarily sex going on. And then all of a sudden we see announced, oh, there's a American version that's coming in July.
Of course. Yeah.
So lots of that. I'll pop in like when she's watching it and I'll just, if I'm doing something, I'll sit there and not whatever.
I got the breakdown, the lowdown on Bold and the Beautiful and who killed who and ran who off the road today. And it was Thomas ran the young black lady that's a dancer on the show and her off the road and she died.
That's not good.
Yeah. He's already the villain, so now he's really the villain.
he's bad news. That's he sounds bad news like Stefano on Days of Our Lives used to. I never really watched Days of Our Lives, but I did have an ex who did. Mm. And in college, there was a sect of people who watched Days of Our Lives.
That's what Chris's mom watches. She watches Days of Our Lives.
Sure, sure. I worked at an NBC station, so it was on, and I would hear it.
Yeah.
Here and there, but yeah, it was interesting.
I grew up with my mom and my friend's mom, Gail, watching All My Children and General Hospital, the two ABC ones.
Gotcha. So, speaking of things that don't make a lot of sense but are being talked about, the idea was floated last week and a plan put forward. And this was reported by Jeff Passan of ESPN that the Tampa Bay Rays are considering splitting their season between Tampa Bay and Montreal. Now, under this plan, the Rays would play in new stadiums in both the Tampa Bay area and in Montreal. And the ability to play games early in the season in Florida would preclude the need for a domed stadium, which would cut the cost of a new building there. But even with the exploration of such a move was approved by Major League Baseball, there's the matter of dealing with the city of St. Petersburg, who doesn't sound like they're down for it. In fact, the mayor said the Rays do not have the right to explore a shared season prior to 2028. If that's the direction they start to go, we'll have to have those discussions between our legal teams. So the idea is, even though the Tampa Bay team is a good baseball team, they can't get crowds to come out. They're in a stadium that was, I forget when the stadium was built, but it was built long before the Tampa Bay Devil Rays became a thing. They built the stadium first, and it's a weird domed stadium with like catwalks that balls will hit and bounce and be in play. There's a bunch of really weird shit.
Really?
On. Yeah.
A Major League Baseball?
Correct.
What?
Yes.
That doesn't sound... man. Okay.
Well, I think that the biggest thing with it is they can't get people
to come out.
To come out. It was opened in 1990, and the Tampa Bay Rays played their first season in 1998. So yeah. This is one of the things where build the stadium in hopes that you'll get a team. And they did, but that's how it goes. Now, Montreal hasn't had a team since the Expos moved to Washington, D.C. They kind of got hosed. I won't go into the whole details of that.
Yeah.
But they got hosed, and there's been talk about Major League Baseball coming back to Montreal. So this was an interesting proposal, to say the least. But I don't know how it would make any sense if no one is coming to your games now, if you came out and said, hey, we're only going to play, say, half of the games we were playing there before. Oh, and they're all going to be early in the season. So yeah. Any of those pennant race games that you're talking about, nope. Those are going to be in Montreal.
Why don't they just say, we want to be in Montreal now?
Well, and that may happen, but I mean, again, they've got the lease through 2028. So if they want to leave,
Jesus Christ,
if they want to leave, they're going to have to pay out the ass to get out of that lease.
For that stadium.
Yes.
I see.
Yeah. And I'm betting that the city will sue to keep them there. Not just be like, oh yeah, we'll take the payout, because having a major league, even if not that many people are coming, there is an exposure to it. Tampa Bay gets mentioned on sportscasts around the country. It is much more in the forefront of stuff. There is a value, despite what some hipsters will tell you, there is a value to having a major league team in your city.
Oh yeah.
Just the mentions, the name recognition, the marketing and all of that. And in Tampa Bay, even though they play in St. Petersburg, Tampa Bay, it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah.
But Tampa Bay is not Miami. It doesn't have the big corporate revenue that other places in Florida have.
Oh, yeah.
So that's part of what...
Or the population density, probably.
Well, they've got a lot of population, but their population is Hulk Hogan and a bunch of poor rednecks. It's a lot of that. There's a lot of really rich people, and there's a lot of poorer people. So it's really interesting to see kind of the idea. Can you imagine we're into that? And they brought up the fact that the Expos played home games in Puerto Rico for a few years, but that was when Major League Baseball owned them, and they were essentially fucking the city of Montreal raw and killing time until they could find a new owner and a place to move them. That was really what
that's how they were doing.
So I don't know what the hell's going on, but I mean, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Strange, buddy. They probably did something stupid and signed the lease without having like some type of like this many people need to show up to the games in order.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be able to enforce that anyway, because that's really more on the team than the city to get people to show up.
Mm.
You know, and a lot of that time, the Rays weren't that great, but they're like near first place this year, and they're still in the toilet with attendance. So it was an interesting thing. One of Kareem's football players, I think he's still with the Steelers. Oh no, he's with the Jets now. Le'Veon Bell. He was with the Steelers. There was a jewelry heist, and there's a 911 call. So let's take a listen to this from TMZ.
911. What's the address of the emergency?
Hollywood, Florida.
Oh, okay. Tell me exactly what happened.
Well, I had two girls in my house. And I did my normal routine to go work out. So I left the workout for a couple hours. When I came back, they took my money, they took my watch, my jewelry, a couple more things of value out of my house. And I don't know where they're at. I tried to call them before I called you guys. I tried to call them, and they're not answering me, and they're ignoring me.
When did this happen?
This happened today.
No. Okay, what all did you say was taken? I know you said money.
So money, my jewelry, and other things of value, so like clothes, shoes, you know, just like other things of value around the house, like things that I use, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
But really clothes, shoes, money.
Okay, what is
the
total
money and my jewelry?
What is the total estimated value of the items?
Oh, like $1 million.
Since you said that you know the girls who did this, I need to get their description. Are they white, black, or Hispanic?
The girls, they're one is mixed, and they're both mixed. They're both mixed.
Okay, their skin color, if an officer was to drive by, would they look more white, black, or Hispanic?
One will look more black, and the other one will look more Hispanic.
Okay, the one that looks more black, how old is she?
23.
What was she wearing today?
When I left, she was in the bed. She was in the bed, not wearing clothes when she left. So I didn't see her when she, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, and the other one, you said she looked more Hispanic, is that correct?
Like, she looked more like, if anything, like, white or Hispanic, yes.
Okay, how old is she?
She's 21.
And what was she last seen wearing today?
The same way, she was in the bed too. They didn't have clothes on.
Oh, okay. What is her phone number?
So he left two naked chicks in his bed and called 911 to brag, apparently.
No, they left.
No, he went to work out. When he left them alone in his house.
Right, yeah. Well, he worked out in his house. He has a gym in his house.
I think he went to Planet Fitness.
Yeah, he went down to the training camp.
He set off the lunkhead alarm.
He was down in his workout room, which is probably on the other side of his 10,000 square foot house. So like, yeah, they could have gotten in there, gotten in their vehicle, gotten an Uber, gotten the fuck out. What's he doing working out for? How many hours? Shit.
So I love the description. He just called to brag that he had a threesome.
Yeah, he just called.
Yeah. So are you just calling to brag that you had a threesome that cost you $1 million?
It was funny. That 911 operator could have been like less like more annoyed. Like she was like less annoyed. Like, she was annoyed by the call, it seemed like.
I think she was just trying to stay professional.
You think so?
Until he started to talk about. Now, he describes the two as his girlfriends.
Yeah.
So, I think you need to get a better set of girlfriends. Playa.
You don't want to say that they're just some chicks hanging out at his house.
Now, police eventually determined the value of the jewelry that Le'Veon lost was $520,000. So worth more than your house. One of the items that was taken is a diamond Black Panther pendant. So how do athletes end up bankrupt shortly after they stop playing? I don't know how that happens, Jason.
You think like that's it? Like that's, man, 520,000. Like you're not going to get that for it, right? If you take it and it's hot, you might get like 100,000 for it somewhere.
If you can get rid of it, yeah.
They have to have people lined up.
Maybe I don't know, but that's don't leave bitches alone in your house if you got stuff. I mean, come on.
Or just let them know that everything's recorded.
What were they last seen wearing? Oh, they was naked in bed. You know what he needs? He needs to talk to Jesus about how he's living his life. And no one talks to Jesus anymore than our old friend Jim Baker.
Say, but I'm going to say it anyhow.
Oh, boy.
Because what's coming next, if we keep losing, you're going to see the leaders of the church and the leaders of the gospel and the political conservative leaders that are powerful. You're going to see them suddenly die, suddenly killed, suddenly as they were driving, suddenly as they were in a boat, suddenly an airplane. You're going to see one after another. God spoke to me this years ago what would happen near the end. And I believe we're in that time. They're so desperate. This is life and death. This is the hatred of murder is in the country.
Okay. I believe the next thing he did was ask for money. I'm just going, but he's not done there. I mean, that's bad enough. Murder, bad enough. But Jason, there's more.
Oh, fuck, man.
Christians must pray for Donald Trump.
We just had a whole day of prayer for President Trump. Yeah. Now, I believe God's going to answer that prayer.
I do too.
How do you pray for President Trump and his family?
Mm-hmm. Well, I pray every day for them.
So do I.
I pray every day. I think a lot of believers do. Yes. The Bible commands us to do that.
Yes.
I pray that God will give him wisdom, that the spirit of wisdom and might will be upon him from Ephesians 1.
Well, that's not working.
I pray for his protection.
Amen.
I pray for peace for him. Yeah. I pray that God will give his mind peace. Can you imagine?
Well, that's not working out.
Imagine.
No, I really can't. The onslaught. I know you're going. Oh, sorry.
No, please
no,
do.
No, really.
Please
what this man's going through.
Please do.
Not one. It's supernatural what he's taking.
Yeah.
It's not. It's not at all supernatural. Clearly, she's not seen the show Supernatural. She doesn't really understand what supernatural is. I'm just saying.
So that was a TV show on
CW. It was. That has nothing to do with it.
Okay. It really is.
Yeah.
How he is standing and how he just keeps railing back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Incredible.
And, but he listens to godly counsel too.
Yes, he does.
More.
He believes in it.
You know, we have like you probably some kind of inside information on things that are going on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we always kind of hold up some of the former Republican presidents, you know.
Right. Like Reagan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he far surpasses most of them in terms of the godly counsel he has around him that he listens to.
Mm-hmm.
You would never think it. When he first started running for office, who would have ever thought that we would have a president that would so surround himself with godly counsel?
Mm-hmm. Would never.
And so there's a blessing that comes from that.
The controversial president, the Trump, who uses language that we don't like sometimes.
But we're seeing him become more and more godly. Yeah. You know, we're seeing him want to put Bible reading back in school.
That's right.
No, 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 no.
Where the fuck do they want to live? Not America.
Well, okay. I have not heard word one about Trump wanting to put Bible reading back in schools.
No, but
he doesn't want to put anything back in schools.
No, he wants to let corporations own schools.
Right. So this idea that are they really this delusional is the question. Are they really this delusional? Are they really this unable to see?
They are. No, they aren't. They just know they have to sell it to the people that are. I mean, listen, I can get a 5-gallon bucket of macaroni and cheese. All right. That shit is fucking tasty as fuck.
Oh, but we're not. We're just getting to the important point.
I can't wait.
Come on.
Try.
Bible reading back in school and prayer.
All the things that the church has been stolen from the church, he's wanting to restore.
Yeah. Yeah.
He wants to restore the dignity and power to the church.
Yeah.
And not take the Bible away. Right. We're so close. They don't get this. But we're so close to the Bible being illegal.
Yeah. No. No, we're not.
Why would you even fucking say that?
Because
there's no truth in that.
No, not a bit.
There's no truth in that. I've never heard one person ever say, you know, we should make the Bible illegal.
No.
I've never heard somebody mention that.
By the way, I went to Catholic school. I went to Catholic school from first through 12th grade, and I went to a Catholic college for a year and a half.
You're Catholic as fuck.
Well, not anymore. I'm Reformed, as in I don't. Here is the extent of our Bible and praying in school. We had a religion class. That was it. That was literally it. And at the time, when I was in elementary school, we would do the Pledge of Allegiance at the beginning of the day, which I guess some have stopped doing, which big deal.
Yeah.
Big deal. The flag's okay by itself up there without me pledging allegiance to it.
Right, and that didn't start happening until the 50s anyways.
Right, so that not super necessary. But even someone who went to a Catholic school, the only time we were delving into religion was in religion class, which was a designated period. We weren't just sitting there randomly praying throughout the day. It didn't happen.
No?
No.
You guys didn't have to go confess?
No. No, if there was school on like a holy day of obligation or something like that, we would go to church rather than religion class.
Is like Ash Wednesday? Is that a...
Yes. Yes. Ash Wednesday.
We would go to Palm Friday?
Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday.
We weren't in school on Sunday. But yeah.
Good Friday.
So yeah, those days we would go to church, but those days church took the place of religion class. We didn't double up.
Oh, you didn't double up?
No, we didn't cancel history or math that day. We didn't go to religion class that day.
You know what they do at the Baptist school?
What's that?
They just teach you how to speak in tongues.
Oh. That's terrible.
And how to gobble on Jim Baker's balls.
Oh, how does that go again? Okay. Just checking in on that.
Florida, land of enchantment and crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
We start Florida Corner with a follow-up because we pay attention to the stories we talk about. A Florida man who twice placed bodily fluids into the water mug of a female coworker got off this week. With a slap on the wrist when he was sentenced for his vile conduct, Robert Tyson, who's 63, was placed on probation for 1 year and ordered to perform 250 hours of community service in connection with his no contest plea to a pair of misdemeanor battery charges. He was ordered to have no contact with the victim, and he must also take HIV and STD tests and undergo a mental evaluation. He was arrested last year after targeting a fellow employee with whom he clashed. He worked with the woman at a dermatology clinic in Tallahassee. He got fired from that job. According to investigators, he was placing semen in a water mug used by the victim, who consumed some of the tainted liquid. The woman told police that as she was drinking from the mug, she became aware of a distinct taste and smell and observed a white-colored mucus substance floating atop the water. Ew. She also recalled an earlier instance when she detected a strange taste in her water.
Okay, I'm done with this article, bro.
And subsequently spotted a white-colored substance atop the drink. So, slap on the wrist for him. Thanks, Florida. Also, this one, this story was sent to me by one of our listeners. And I had seen it, but I hadn't dug fully into it. This from Florida, where a burglary suspect threw his own feces at a Miami judge. You think that would be bad news for him, right? Well,
I finally.
Hold on. I have to wait for this ad so I can skip it so you can hear this. There we go. There's a little bit of a scuffle in the courthouse. Yeah, he was in a wheelchair. He defecated and cast his feces inside the courtroom before closing arguments were set to begin in his burglary trial. He flung his poo in the general direction of of Miami-Dade Circuit Judge Lisa Walsh. Not funny. Lawyers then fled as the county police officers and corrections officers swarmed the courtroom. Here's the best part. He yelled, "It's protein. It's good for you." He clearly doesn't understand what makes up poo. Just saying.
Oh, man.
The incident happened during the routine morning court calendar, and no jurors were there yet. He was sitting in the wheelchair near the judge when he did it. He also ate some of his feces, Jason.
Oh, man. Poor guy.
Yeah. The judge, though, not deterred. As that courtroom was shut down, she moved the closing arguments to another courtroom upstairs, where jurors deliberated for about an hour and then found him not guilty. But he won't be getting out of jail because he's still facing a separate trial in a grand theft auto case. Unclear yet if he's going to face charges related to his poo flinging in the courtroom.
Oh, I have to know this guy's history now. I mean, if he's in a wheelchair, how's he in for a grand theft auto?
Well, the lawyers in the court want to know if he's faking a mental illness, so a doctor was appointed to evaluate him. Yeah. He's got multiple convictions. Career criminal facing at least 15 years in prison if convicted.
So, well, hey, throwing your poop at the judge works, bro.
Sure.
Sure. Jury's like, the guy ate his shit. He's definitely fucked in the head.
Also in Florida, several injured after man urinates off bridge. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. It's Germany. 16 rescue workers responded to the incident triggered by a man urinating off a Berlin bridge onto a tour boat. Big whoop. Dave Matthews dumped a whole busload of sewage onto a tour boat in Chicago once. But in Germany, they don't play. Police have filed assault charges against the unknown man. That's right. Several people were injured in the German capital when a man urinated off a bridge onto the tour boat. A sprinkle of urine from overhead caused a commotion, as it would, on the boat as it passed under the low-clearance Janowitz Bridge in Berlin. Several people jumped up and were injured on the head as the boat passed under the 4-meter-high, 12-foot bridge spanning the Spree River. Four people were taken by ambulance to the hospital for cuts to their head. Police filed assault charges against the man and described his actions as abnormal behavior.
No shit.
They're currently looking for him, so they don't have him. But
I don't think anybody's going to have that guy.
Yeah. Well, what you going to do?
What you going to do, brother, when you pee off a bridge?
Oh, yeah. I've mixed up my two wrestlers.
It's all right.
It's all good. Meanwhile, a Bob Ross fan is behind bars on a narcotics rap. Cody Kutchfars, 22, he's from Arkansas, and he got arrested while wearing a Message t-shirt. This is one with Bob Ross, that's the painter from PBS, Happy Little Trees. This one says, "Ever make mistakes in life?" And that's the t-shirt he's wearing for his mugshot. By the way, the conclusion of the quote that gets cut off in the picture, "Let's make them birds." Yeah, they're birds now.
Yeah, jailbirds.
He was arrested on a felony narcotics possession charge and a misdemeanor possession of drug paraphernalia. He is being held without bond due to a previous mistake in his life. Back in 2017, he pled guilty to multiple felony firearm theft counts and was sentenced to 4 years probation. So in addition to the new drug wraps, he's likely going to face a probation violation charge. Oh, and he has a four-year-old boy. And it not that it matters, but he recently worked as a forklift operator.
Oh, well, that's work.
There's the t-shirt, Jason.
I have that one.
Do you?
A two of them.
Big Bob Ross fan?
Huge.
Happy little trees.
And now it's time for the airing of...
Oh, no, it's not.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
I hit the wrong button. I'm sorry.
It happens.
I'm sorry. I won't do that if more people shop the Shop Amazon tab at WTHpod.com.
Why aren't you just pressing the button?
I need to get things better labeled.
No, the tab. I mean, sorry. I meant the tab.
Tab. We go now to the Eat Beat. Headline, Bemidji offers a variety of food options for visitors. Oh, Maryland's on the road. When I go to Bemidji, I eat. Okay. Many times the first stop is at Ralph's Bakery and Cafe downtown. However, with teenage grandchildren, the search becomes more complicated. We ended up at a place near the lake called Lucky Dogs. There we found outside tables with umbrellas as well as seating within. Oh, you don't say.
Oh, my.
There on Sunday afternoon, people were dropping by to eat their favorite hot dog. The dogs have personality, some almost too much for me, but they bring plenty of people back. Servers inside, they're courteous. Later on, the Mexican restaurant Pollo Rancho called. It was packed with many families on Sunday evening. With seating over 150, the brightly decorated restaurant has been part of Bemidji's scenes for 10 years. But the best was yet to come, Jason. Breakfast served to guests at the Hampton Inn is pleasing.
Get the fuck out of here. Is she really going to review their continental breakfast?
Far better than the average event. The selection of fruits, beverages available for waffles, eggs, it's beyond average. So too, the dining area, where there are comfortable tables and seating beyond in the lobby looking out over the lake.
Yeah, because I want to sit in the lobby and eat my breakfast while I...
But you'll find maple sugar, fruit, and slivered almonds alongside the oatmeal. And with the newspapers, computers, and comfortable seating, it doesn't seem to matter whether the day is cloudy or clear. Now, in years past, we've been on such Bemidji-area restaurants as Minnesota Nice, Tutto Benny, and Rutgers Garden Court Grill, which has now reopened. So on this, the second day of summer, the focus is on Red Stew Breakfast Bar. And that's S-T-U, not S-T-E-W, by the way. It's located along with Bar 209 in the same old, amazingly revamped building at 217 Minnesota Avenue Northwest. There with Joel and Amy Med, we explored the breakfast choices at Red Stew. And the menu says it's noon somewhere, so our choices included country-style meatloaf with onion, Dijon mayo and cheddar cheese on white bread. Another late morning choice was described as La Havana's Na Na Na. Its sandwich is $12. It's made with pulled pork, ham, spicy pickle, and Swiss cheese. The wide open white and light decor brings life and interest to the revamped building. And as service in the Red Stew Breakfast Bar is closing, the action moves into Bar 209. While hours for Red Stew breakfast ranges from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. The hours for the adjoining bar 209 are listed from 11 a.m. to 1 a.m. There, customers find a menu designed for late lunch and evening fare. Among the offerings, a custard dessert, one that I must try again.
Oh, and that is an A-plus review right there from Marilyn.
Much of the charm in the visits to the Red Stew and Bar 209 was the presence of an exceptionally good server, Jazz Venzer. She said she originally came from Colorado to play basketball at Bemidji State University. She told us, "I love this town."
Nice.
No report card on the Eat Beat this week, apparently because there's just too many restaurants in there.
What, you know, I mean, is it ever really a report card?
It's not. It's not. Well, that, now I have to go to Bemidji.
You do.
Do you want to go to Bemidji?
I think I saw it in one of the seasons of Fargo.
I think you probably did.
Yeah.
There's 15,000 people there. I mean, who wouldn't want to go to Bemidji? They've got the Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox monument there.
Mm-hmm.
I just, top things to do in Bemidji, That's the first one. That's pretty much it, yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. They describe themselves on their website as historically charming, progressive, and beautiful Northwood City.
Oh, man.
And when you go to Red Stew's. Thanks, Marilyn. And thank you for listening to the WTH podcast. We do appreciate you giving us a listen, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whether you're listening on your Amazon Alexa, whether you're listening on Spotify, wherever you're getting us, we do appreciate it. Have yourselves a great weekend. Monday show, we will have grievances for you. Sadly, I'm going to make up Kareem's grievance. I think I know what it is. and we'll talk about the Taco Bell resort that's opening up. So another big, exciting show planned for you for Monday. In the meantime, for Jason, I'm Nate. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.